born on the Nativity of Our Blessed Mother and celebrating 10 years on the air, The Winds of Change.
Marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. I am your brother and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. I haven't said that in a long time, but that's
I think we need it more now.
Taking right from the beginning of the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, which is really quite, it's apocalyptic. It's mm-hmm. the apocalyptic book. Fascinating how it came about. You know, John was imprisoned in Patmos for having given witness to Jesus. The only apostle not to be martyred. Yeah, he's the only one that went to the cross, by the way. Along with the Blessed Virgin Mary, but he didn't abandon Jesus. He went with him right to the end, but he never was martyred. But he was imprisoned. It was in that prison on the island of Patmos that he had this wonderfully mystical experience in the cave, and it was from that he wrote the last book of the Bible. So he begins, I, John, your brother, share with you the distress, the endurance, the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. And I like the realism of that, right? This is just the reality that we, because endure is to suffer. Perseverance is so necessary, and we persevere and we endure, we suffer the faith because the kingdom has come. And I don't think we can certainly we'll try to get around that because we just want to do anything and everything we can to avoid the necessity of endurance or suffering. You know, as I've said many times, we're going to pray the Angelus here in just a second, but and I was asking somebody about this yesterday as well, and you've heard me, Tony, say this, and all of you are listeners, and I've said it often in the church, but has there ever been a day in your life where you haven't suffered something, something to the mind, the body, the soul, or the spirit? I mean, my gosh, you know, waking up in the morning is the first suffering of the day is like having to... I guess it's the suffering of it's coming from through the birth canal, right? Having
I to be never born. Thought about that until you had mentioned that.
Sure.
Now I think about that all the time.
Yeah, geez. And today I woke up at 3:00 with all these, because we're dealing with so many things right. As always. You know,
all the thoughts
and I couldn't get back to sleep. Yep. I kept trying, and I said, Jesus, I trust in you. Have mercy on me. But nothing. The Lord, let me just stay awake. Thinking about these things and. Mm-hmm. Finally, I got up at 6:30, but hadn't gone back to sleep, and got down into the chapel and had to work on this letter. And I'm very, very happy about the letter. This is for this upcoming Sunday because it's, I think last week, and we're going to talk about this today, we had the prophet Jeremiah. Next week, this coming Sunday, it'll be the prophet Ezekiel. And I resonate with those, with the prophets, and certainly we all share in the threefold office of Jesus Christ, his kingship, his priesthood and his prophetic office, which means that we're a royal people, we're dignified people, we're people who are graceful, we have a share in his kingdom, and we share in that kingly office, the priesthood of Christ. Of course, I'm a ministerial priest, I'm an ordained priest, which brings me back to the Ezekiel the Watchman, which is the upcoming reading, which I won't go into today, but it was just very much inspired by the reading. But it's hard. It's hard, just as with Jeremiah, because this is all kind of related to the words of John. I share with you the distress, the endurance, the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. It was really those two words, distress and endurance. That's kind of the big word, everybody, not so much distress, but stress, right? Oh, I'm so stressed out. Yeah. You know, it's distress. You know, life can be very distressing, and life is beautiful. It's a gift, but it's not easy. But the I forgot the point that I was going to make. But the reality is that let's be in the truth. You know, and then we know what's expected of us. You know, instead of trying to. And we naturally want to escape nobody wants to go into the fire, you know,
right?
Because you're going to get burned. But life is it's a wounding experience, it's a burning experience. But in having faith in God, we learn, first of all, to go where he calls us, to be responsible, to make sacrifice. To live in truth, sinners as we are, but that he's with us in that. And that's what, I'd rather go into the fire, into the desert, into the dark night with Christ than to be away from Christ in the world's superficiality, mm-hmm. or the emptiness. Let's just call it the emptiness, yeah. Right? So anyway, 7 minutes in, and we're beyond the 12 o'clock hour when we should be praying the Angelus, but we're still in the hour, mm-hmm. So let us pray. And we're also going to, we're praying for the, as we're coming toward the election, I have the beautiful, beautiful prayer to Our Lady for the election, and we offer the litany to Our Lady in for our nation, and of course each and every one of you, as you're listening, you can add your intention, you know, from your heart as well. We have, you know, it's amazing when we speak about we pray for a very specific particular thing, but there's so much, mm-hmm. We want to pray for, and we do so. Anyway, let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us. Christ graciously hear us. God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary, pray for us. Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother of Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother most pure,
pray for us.
Mother most chaste,
pray for us.
Mother inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother most amiable,
pray for us.
Mother most admirable,
pray for us.
Mother good counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin most prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin most venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin most renowned,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin most merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin most faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of justice,
pray for us.
Seat of wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of honor,
pray for us.
Singular vessel of devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of ivory,
pray for us.
House of gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of heaven,
pray for us.
Morning star,
pray for us.
Health of the sick,
pray for us.
Refuge of sinners,
pray for us.
Comfort of the afflicted,
pray for us.
Help of Christians,
pray for us.
Queen of angels,
pray for us.
Queen of patriarchs,
pray for us.
Queen of prophets,
pray for us.
Queen of apostles,
pray for us.
Queen of martyrs,
pray for us.
Queen of confessors,
pray for us.
Queen of virgins,
pray for us.
Queen of all saints,
pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin,
pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven,
pray for us.
Queen of the Most Holy Rosary,
pray for us.
Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, spare us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, graciously hear us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of sins, the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee do we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. St. Joseph,
pray for us.
All right. Nick, my clock just went off, but is it maybe time that we take a break? Should we take a break? Okay, we got back on. Okay, everybody, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDC.
All right, pets, pipe down. I've got something to say to you. Yes, that means you too. Please tell your owners that Father Anthony would like to bless all of you on Saturday, October 3rd at 9 a.m. in front of the outside cross in front of St. Stan's. And if it rains, under the school portico for the St. Francis of Assisi Blessing of the Animals. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. The Blessing of the Animals, Saturday, October 3rd at 9 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. And the goldfish are welcome too.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church. And a security person will be on site to register and to participate in the Holy Mass. And for more information, go to ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So, speaking of the prophets, I want to go back to the Sunday's readings, because they were quite beautiful. And again, you know, it's, we're conditioned to feel, you know, that we're not supposed to, even though I always talk about it, and that's why I chide myself, and yet I can't. But again, if you look at the prophet Jeremiah, as I was reflecting on the prophet Ezekiel this morning, I thought, you know, this is, how can we deny the fact that, especially in view of the stuff that's going on in the society and what's been unfolding already now for decades, but how can we not stand courageously in defense of truth and beauty and goodness, in defense of God against what is become a very godlessness that is so powerfully infiltrated the nation and has powerfully affected and, in fact, infiltrated the church as well. We have to stand against that. Yeah. But if you challenge the problem today is people want things soft and comfortable. We, you know, don't rock the boat. I remember even as a seminarian, I always had this thing inside me that, and again, the prophetic. Now, when I say prophetic, I don't mean that we predict the future, but there is a certain there is a certain kind of prediction, but it's not like a fortune teller, right? Mm-hmm. It's just reading the signs of the time and saying if we don't correct this, there will be dire consequences, you know, not for the good. Well, I said dire consequences would naturally mean not for the good, but I saw it already as a seminarian, and I tried to challenge things here and there in different ways as best as I knew, or wondered about, you know, why this or that or what's, you know, and I remember one of the elder seminarians, soon to be ordained, he told me once, he says, you know, don't rock the boat. Don't rock the boat. In other words, you got to go with the flow. You got to, and I, it just didn't resonate with me. You know, I felt that there needed to be something more. And I discovered that, you know, all along. It was just a few years ago, and I've mentioned this many, many times on the radio, but when I heard that reading from Scripture, and St. Paul, as he's leaving Ephesus, there are certain things I go back to all the time because they speak to me and help me to stay on this path. But St. Paul, he says to the presbyterate, to the priests there in Ephesus, he says, listen, I'm leaving you, and I leave with a clean conscience because I did not withhold from you the full counsel of God. But you need to know that the wolves are coming. The wolves are coming to devour. And so he, you know, this the full counsel of God. I mean, now as I read Scripture, it seems like it's everywhere. It's how have we avoided the constant call through the whole of Scripture? How often, I should look this up and find out, how often the word commandments, the commandments or the law of God come into play. It's just, it's almost there all the time. And speaking of the wolves are coming, I'll go into this maybe toward the end of the week, but as I was preparing this letter this morning, reflecting on the readings, started yesterday really, and it happened to be one of these pleasant reflections, even though it was hard, but it's not like I was, you know, just sometimes it's just like that. You get a mental block or a writer's block, or you don't know. But this just kind of flowed. It just kind of came so easily. But I was drawn back to the words of Saint Cyril of Jerusalem: "The dragon sits by the side of the road, watching those who pass. Beware lest he devour you. We go to the Father of souls, but it is necessary to pass by the dragon." And I conclude the letter, I'll go into this later, but this comes from the parable of the watchman from the prophet Ezekiel. And I say, you know, if I fail in the Lord's charge to me and lead you away from truth, I will suffer the consequences. But if I'm true to the Lord, even if you refuse him, my soul will be saved, and I will serenely rest at the end of all things. As watchman, I see clearly the dragon and wish to warn you that you warn others, you know, that you warn others. In other words, we can't, and this is, I think, part of the, if people talk about the, and you hear a lot of this now, many people, speak about it, and it's being read all over the place about this exodus, this apostasy, this going away from the faith. And yet, we've got those who I would say have their head in the sand, and they kind of deny it. And it's you know, everything is fine, everything is good. There's no problem, and they kind of go with the culture and. I'm talking about the church, you know, churchmen, leaders,
right.
And it's a terrible disservice to the people of God. And so what happens is the faith becomes irrelevant because it doesn't challenge. I always wanted to be challenged. Mm-hmm. Life is a challenge. And if the faith is presented in this, you know, lackadaisical, superficial, you know, God is love, and therefore, you know, you can... do anything, you know, okay, you make a mistake, you fall, you know, God is, and yes, of course, and he certainly is a merciful God, but there are consequences.
See, I think these are the things that are missing, and it's really, if you want to go through life being the good Christ or the happy Christ or the, if we don't realize or we try to say there's no sacrifice, or we say that life is not hard, then I think, dare I say, good people get tricked into thinking that, okay, this is the way it should be. And when reality hits, and right. it will, and it is, that's when it's the hardest. And I think that is such a disservice to both our priests and our bishops that are not saying this. Now, again, that's my opinion, but, and I'll also say that's why I so love that you say what is the truth.
Well, I try to, and
the best way that you can. You don't sugarcoat anything.
Be prudent about how right. we communicate this.
And even in that prudence, it's sad that we even have to think about that. And now I'm saying it. You know, I as a parishioner, as a man of God, I don't want to hear the watered down. I want to hear the truth. I want to know that, okay, this is what Jesus says. It's not what I think Jesus said or what Jesus was thinking, what I put my thoughts in. It's not. It's what Jesus said. And yeah. I think if you sit long enough with something, you know it to be true.
Yeah, in some ways, it just seems to me that, and it seems that there's a blind spot.
Yeah.
That on the part of the church for too long.
And I just wonder if it's intentional or really it's just misguided. And I want to be that person that sits back. I don't wanna think it's intentional, but maybe people just they don't see it that way.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's misguided. I think it's also in some cases intentional. You know, and in fact I'll come into that in just a second. But I think often misguided because we live in a time when and I get it because God so loved the world. He so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, not to condemn, but to save the world. Mm-hmm. Well, we have to recognize the need for salvation. But it seems to me that, it doesn't just seem to me, I mean, I know it to be a reality that the church, after the Second Vatican Council, and I'm, the council documents are beautiful, mm-hmm. if they're understood properly. It was a pastoral council. But the, This idea that we're gonna befriend the world, that we succumb to the temptation to accommodate the world, mm-hmm. thinking that and this is kind of the watering down,
right.
That the harsh teachings of Jesus or the that which is would. You know, you mentioned the good Jesus is good. He is supreme good. He is supreme love. But how do you define good and how do you define love? It's not, as I've said often, and I'm probably going to mention it here again, God is not a permissive God. He's a demanding God because we're in the battle. We're in the battle. And to deny the battle... what's interesting in the society, what's going on right now, I think, in the society, as we see this a kind of cultural suicide taking place right before our eyes, and I was reflecting on that, and that kind of comes in this other letter that I was writing this morning. We've been slowly but surely, I mean, it's slowly, it was a slow process of a kind of seducing, a deceiving, creating this illusion that... And so you have to dumb down God. You got to as everything was dumbed down, you know, so that there's an equal kind of playing field. You know, one God among many gods. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. What is truth? In fact, I was just writing this morning to the old adages: live and let live. Mm-hmm. Who am I to judge? But this is really, really, really contrary mm-hmm. to the correction that Jesus imposes upon us, that we correct others as we have to be corrected. In other words, as people deviate, we've got to bring them back to truth, because if we don't bring them back to truth, then we make, we contribute to the disorder that is in the world that is really not just... causing unbelievable suffering, anxiety, and fear in this time, especially. And see, this is the thing, you know, is if we present a faith that is, if we don't present the full counsel of God, but we dumb it down, and we present the God of love as a kind of a permissive God. Who, you know, yeah, he loved you into life, and he created you in his image and likeness, and this is a fact, this is truth. But we're fallen, we're sinful, and so we needed to be saved, we needed to be redeemed. And having been saved, we have a mission to fulfill, because we're the emissaries of Christ, and it's to call the world to truth and to support one another in the struggle. If we don't do that, if we just reduce God to a permissive parent or, you know, just a bud, you know, my buddy, a friend or whatever, then, and leave people to kind of follow their own proclivities or to be, you know, their natural inclinations to this or that or whatever, because, you know, again, life is hard, and so people, they're looking for a way out, right? Yeah. Away from the suffering. Again, we don't want it. We started with that, right? You know, the fire, we're called into the fire. Well, the fire burns. You're called into the desert. Well, that's, you know, you have to eat the dry dirt. You're called into the dark at night. Sometimes you can't see the light, but it's faith that keeps us moving forward. But if we're not supposed to suffer any of that, they don't know. God is not a God who wants to impose suffering, but it's inherent in life, you know. Anyway, let me go to this, and I was going to make a point to your point about the yes. So that in a time like this, if people haven't been formed properly in the faith, they don't know where to go.
Exactly.
You know. And so, yeah, some may, you know, come to the church in search of some understanding or meaning to what's going on in the world right now, and hopefully they'll find a priest who will speak to that truth, or they're going to be confronted with the fluff. And they're going to go, it's irrelevant because it doesn't speak to the reality. Right, it doesn't speak to the reality, and this is unfortunately it's maybe the psychology of the day. Maybe it's changing. I don't know. But when in fact, we see this or experience this apostasy, the going away. Statistically, we know this, and for our leaders, priests and the shepherds, to downplay it or deny it or just dismiss it as, you know, and try to, no, we're just going to look at the good. Now, we've got a problem here, and we've got to take a good look at ourselves and say maybe, you know, we really need to make a personal correction and get back into the story, the true story, and embrace the full counsel of God. Challenge the world and bring people into, you know, the whole gospel message is to go forth and preach repentance of sin. Repent of your sin, be converted. And even having been converted, we remain sinners. And maybe that's part of the thing, too. Maybe it's that we're fearful of the fact that, you know, we don't want to say it because we know that we're all guilty. Mm-hmm. You know, with that, let me go into this. My gosh, we're really, let's take a break and then we'll go into this, okay? So we'll take a break and we'll be right back. Everybody, don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change invites you to join the Rosary Rally on Saturday, October 10th at 12 noon in front of the outdoor cross at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church. Join us as we join people around the country praying for peace, as Our Lady of Fatima requested. In case of rain, we will meet under the portico outside of St. Stan's School. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Join us Saturday, October 10th at noon for the Rosary Rally for Peace.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here is an important message from Winds of Change. The upcoming election could be a turning point for the future of the United States. The pillars of our faith are the sanctity of life and the sanctity of marriage. We can't tell you who to vote for, but we can tell you, as a Catholic, to be registered and to get out and vote your faith.
Fall is here, hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell.
St. Stanislaus Kostka School, has in-person and virtual learning plans for the 2020-21 school year, and scholarships are available. For a virtual tour or more information of St. Stan's School, call 773-278-4560 or 773-270-1553. To see what St. Stan's School has to offer, visit ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, faith, virtue, valor, an expressway to excellence.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I want to go back to the readings on Sunday and just kind of share with you my reflections. But as I look to those, this was the past Sunday was the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, and as I reflected on the readings, I was reminded why faithful Catholics are often treated with derision and reproach, because those two words come up in the reading from the prophet Jeremiah. Now I say faithful Catholics because just as we have those who want to change the face of the nation, in the same way, there are those who want to change the face of the church. Now, if change means that we become holier people, that we adhere to God's law, we honor the proper ordering of life, then this is a great good, and this is the kind of change we want. This is conversion, right? This mm-hmm. is conversion. This is entering into the transformative work of God's Spirit. But unfortunately, derision and reproach are directed at those who uphold God's laws. Their efforts are thwarted by those who would rather rewrite the laws of God or recreate God in the image of fallen man rather than look to a higher standard and join the struggle. Again, there's that word, struggle, mm-hmm. endurance, distress, endurance, to live toward that good end in the kingdom. So that really goes back to the words of St. John, mm-hmm. right? And when I say rewrite the laws of God, I mean, in what we see happening right now, this kind of anarchy, is that there is no law. It's not even about rewriting law. Mm-hmm. The only laws that support would be that if you don't adhere to their really, it's about the free reign of the flesh, mm-hmm. no authority. Then you're to be, you know, because you're in the way. You're in the way. You know, you're going to rain on the parade. Anyway, especially right now, and you mentioned this at the beginning, Tony, as we're confronted with and really overwhelmed by lockdowns and quarantines and social unrest and the stoking of racism and an assortment of other isms that make for identity politics, we seem reluctant to courageously stand in the truth as revealed to us by God, a truth we have responsibility to uphold. And this is where often the shepherds of the church have been, where we've done a disservice to our people. Not in all cases, but in too many cases. Our God-given capacity toward right reason is a striking contrast to a society, both secular and religious, that lives and acts only on feelings. And we become a religion of feelings. Mm-hmm. It's okay to feel, but we've got to use our intellect. We've got to use right reason. And we're being manipulated by feelings. I always think of other generations who seem to be more guided by their intellect. That kind of superseded, overrided their feelings. It's not about what you feel. It's about what you got. You know, it's just because you feel something doesn't make it right.
Right.
Right. And so religion has been, this is the dumbing down of religion as well. That this is this infiltration of, you know, it's we got to cater to the feelings. You got to feel good. You got to make this a nice feeling for you, this So we get into the whole thing of entertainment, and religion becomes, or the worship of God becomes, morphs into a kind of entertainment, and it's just really sickening. But anyway, the prophet Jeremiah, in the reading on Sunday, he laments the cost he must pay to obey God and fulfill God's mission to him. And he says, it wasn't read in the pericope, the passage that we read it, that was read at the masses on Sunday, but if you take the whole scriptural passage from the book of Jeremiah, he says, he begins by saying, I sit here in the midst of merrymakers, all alone. He cries out to God with these words that we heard. They well up from his pain of loneliness and for having been rejected by others on account of God. He says, you duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. In other words, you know, when he began the mission, it's you know, as God to the prophets, he says, okay, well, who are we going to send? God reveals himself in his own mysterious way, and he ignites the fire within. And then he'll ask the question, now, who shall we send? Who will go for us? And the prophets, they say, well, here I am, Lord. Send me. You know, and they do that with enthusiasm. They're eager to go. I want to go because they've had this encounter with God. And so Jeremiah, you know, he gave his heart, he gave his soul, he gave everything to God. I am your servant. Here I am. I come to do your will. Now, having done the will of God, having entered into this work, he cries out, you know, this is what it means. I sit alone in the midst of merrymakers. You duped me. I let myself be duped. You were too strong for me, and you triumphed. You caught me. You know, you caught me. And all the day I am an object of laughter everywhere. Everyone mocks me. Your word, O Lord, has brought me derision and reproach all the day. You see, he even goes on to say, I mean, it is a very, very severe lament, because he says, cursed be the day of my birth. My mother should have aborted me. I mean, he says all those things. He says, but because his mission was to bring people back to God, back to God's law, to restore right worship to God in the temple. Think about it today. You know, this is why Pope Benedict, I'll never forget this, and it excited me so much when I was in that private audience with Pope Benedict. It's just this was for radio, in preparation for radio. And I had gone to this Congress and outside of Rome, but we went to Rome and we had a private audience with Pope Benedict. And he said, and this is all I remember him saying, the whole thing was we were so deep into the Vatican, it was such a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful experience, but all I remember, and it just stayed with me, he says, as we were there, and it was a small group, so we had really close encounter with the Holy Father, and he really emanated holiness and extreme, extremely intelligent and very prophetic, and in fact, that's what he said. He says, Fathers, he says, you must exercise today your prophetic office. This is what's lacking. We need your prophetic office to be lived to the fullest extent. Again, it goes back. We've got a threefold office: priestly, kingly, and prophetic. And those words really just went right to my heart. And but this is so Jeremiah. The mission was to bring people back to God, back to God's law, to restore right worship of God to the temple. This is what's so needed today. Now, we who strive to live in obedience to God, for love of God, and therefore for love of God's people, we're challenged by what we hear and see around us. And, you know, just some examples. The acceptance of casual sexual relationships. You know, as I said on Sunday, as I've said before on the radio, the people, they have always, I've always heard, you know, the church is obsessed with sex. It's not the church's obsession. No. It's society's obsession. The church has the moral authority to lay out the parameters within which this is to be understood. the acceptance of abortion, now this growing acceptance of euthanasia, the flaunting of authority and the rule of law, which is rampant in our society, which is, again, awakening people. That was a point I wanted to make, is I think that what's happening is what was hidden in the dark portrayed as light, because of how we've been slowly but surely seduced mm-hmm. and deceived. It's darkness is beginning to be seen. It's the insidious, the nefarious, the evil, and people are not. This is not right. This yeah. does, you know, something intuitively we know.
Feel it,
and this is a good thing. But anyway, and then of course cynicism toward God's holy church and toward lawful government. So now St. Paul, we heard this on Sunday, he said, he urges us, and he says, do not conform, again, within the context of our time, he says, do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. And he quite pointedly says, by the mercies of God, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. And my friends, that's how we enter into worship.
Yeah,
it's not the kumbaya. You know, it's not. We're not going to entertain. No, we enter into this the Holy Mass. The purpose is to be reminded, to be renewed, to hear again the Word of God proclaimed, and then to give our assent, to renew our fiat, and to offer our lives a living sacrifice, pleasing to God, our spiritual worship. This is what is proper to Catholic worship. It is sacrificial. And this is the thing that so many have tried to get away from, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. This is what it is primarily, the holy sacrifice. Entering into that sacrifice, I am then disposed to participate in the banquet, to be fed with the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ in order to go into the mission. Now, the mission in the Gospel last Sunday, Jesus prepares his disciples for the impending violence that would befall him on account of truth, and he is the truth. And Peter, like us, was caught up in the ideas of his day. He rebuked Jesus, thinking that Jesus could be so violently rejected. And Jesus, in turn, rebuked Peter, and he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as man does, or not as God does, but as human beings do." And I love the old translation, "Thou art a scandal unto me," Jesus said. Peter, thou art a scandal unto me, because thou savorest not the things of God, but the things that are of men." And this is exactly what's going on today. As he did with Peter, he has to rebuke us as well for failure to cleave to him and his teachings. We must emphasize, and I'm going to keep emphasizing, I've been doing this at the church, and because in view of what's happening in the society, we must emphasize more than ever personal responsibility, hard work, disciplined lives, respect for others, for all people, the necessity of the nuclear family and holy matrimony, and the value of chastity and virginity. I mean, this is what's not being spoken.
And see, I think what you just said, if people all today did what you just said, was not your feelings, was not your opinions, was from Scripture, if we all did this, we wouldn't have the things that are going on right now.
It's about personal responsibility,
right?
Disciplined lives, respect for others, the necessity of the family, again, holy matrimony, chastity, virginity. Today, this is so countercultural mm-hmm. that to defend such truths may be deemed an act of heroism. Yeah. And perhaps we don't want to deal with it because we're all victims, or we're perpetrators of, you know, we've been so affected by the culture. Just think of, you know, this just didn't happen overnight. This has been going mm-hmm. on for decades. What have we been fed by? You know, baptisms are always, or I used to. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't now. But there was a period where I would always, at a baptism, say, okay, if I you're baptizing your child. Okay, so I'm going to come knocking on your door, and I'm going to say, I want to come in, and I want to teach your child a way of thinking, a way of behaving, a way of talking that is contrary to your faith. Would you allow me into your home? And, of course, the parents, and they say, no, of course not. Right. Okay, so now, do you have a television?
Yes.
That's, of course, today, do you have a computer? Okay, so be aware of that. Because you've got, you know, there's already that this that goes contrary to your values. But see, we're all guilty because we've all been slowly but surely transformed by the society, a society that chooses not to be under the dominion of God. So rather than go out and bring people to God, we go out and we allow the culture to transform us, or deform, should be, and that's it's a deformation, mm-hmm. Now, Jesus concludes the gospel with the challenge to pick up our crosses and follow him, to deny ourselves and lose ourselves for the sake of finding him and thus finding ourselves. It's very contrary to the society we live in that nurtures narcissism. I've been saying this for years, that we've been nurturing narcissism. So we're swimming in a sea of egos, and we're drowning each other in this sea because we're all centered in self. But he says, no, on the contrary, this is it's about deny yourself, lose yourself. Deny yourself, lose yourself. You find me, and you find yourself. Die to yourself. I'm life. You find me, and you have life. You got to pick up your cross and follow, because he didn't deceive us. It's not going to be easy. You know, it goes back to personal responsibility, hard work, disciplined lives, respect for others, the necessity of the family, holy matrimony. I mean, the violence in the street of our cities is more than anything a result of the breakdown of the family, the breakdown of marriage, the lack of value for chastity and virginity. And we've all been affected by this. Again, it's
interesting thing is, if you listen to the news, that's not the reason for all of that.
Never comes up. It
exactly.
Comes up from time to time, but it's shouted down.
Exactly.
It's shouted down. And again, I had to just listen to the music, go to the cinema, look at the violence. I mean, we were just saturated with what is so contrary to God's law, the very blatant, very graphic sexuality, violence, and it just gets worse and worse the farther we move along. So, he ends by saying, you know, truly, what profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit one's life unto eternity? But see, if we don't believe that we could lose our soul, if we don't believe that we could damn ourselves, you know, God isn't here to damn anybody. God isn't a God that wants to send anybody to hell, but he came to save. But we have to be receptive and open, docile to the inner working of God's Spirit to bring us into our true identity as created in the image and likeness of God, and to be in the work of life, to carry each other through this life toward eternity. But if we just believe we can do any, and this is the general consensus, do anything you want, because at the end it doesn't matter. You know, you're all going to go to heaven, or que sera, sera, live, eat, and drink, marry. You know, because this is all there is.
No consequences.
I was reading yesterday, by the way, that there's 52% of the Americans no longer believe that Jesus is God. Two-thirds of all
that.
Catholics no longer believe or do not believe in the Eucharist, that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist, because they haven't been taught. Who knows? Well, certainly, it's a part of it, because, again, a movement away from the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and this is the worship of the people. Let's see here, before we... where do I want to end here? Well, you know, I guess, yes, so what profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit one's life unto eternity? We will be judged. That's the point. We're going to be judged at the end of all things. Now, every human person struggles with something or another. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
St. Paul admits that of himself. St. Peter, everybody. Only Jesus and Mary were without sin. the Blessed Virgin Mary. But we all struggle with something or another, but we work together toward the interior peace, the joy, and the freedom that comes from God alone. We pick each other up. God is with us. He wants to companion us on the journey, to lift us up, to lead us and guide us. And again, his greatest attribute is mercy. But again, he is not a permissive God. He's rather demanding in what he's asking of us, but his demands are not merely tests for God's entertainment. And that's something that an insight somebody gave to me, because just to kind of help me to communicate this, you know, so what does it mean he's rather demanding? His demands are not merely tests for God's entertainment. They benefit us in producing genuine freedom. Genuine freedom. So it's not, you know, in Spanish, the two words libertinaje and libertad. The libertinaje would be the free reign of the flesh. St. Paul says if you give free reign to the flesh of its very nature will lust against the spirit. Now, this is always a battle, but in lusting, you give free reign to the flesh, you produce all kinds of bad things, ugly things. You contribute to the disorder in the society, and people inevitably get deeply hurt and worse. No, we submit to the Spirit of God. We enter into that struggle together, a spiritual combat. It's the struggle of the mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit. But when we're in this together, you know, then we go forward with a conscience. We don't, as they say in Spanish, you know, that it's sin vergüenza, without, we don't live without shame. You know, that there is a proper, a healthy kind of shame or guilt, healthy guilt. The Catholics always say, you know, Catholic guilt. I don't think there's such a thing anymore. I think that's a thing of the past, but it needs to be, a healthy guilt, that we should feel a certain guilt at certain ways of behavior or sin, certainly. Scripture bears witness to this truth, and for this Jesus was taken by force. We adhere to the high standard held out to us by God, which must be safeguarded, not hijacked by the world's standard, because the foundation and the center of our mission is that of Jesus Christ, to whom we owe fidelity. We rise above identity politics that inflict the masses with accusations of phobias that further divide the people of God into conflicting categories. Wow. This is what's happening. And so like Jeremiah, we're at the end, trying to finish. So Jeremiah, he says, you duped me. But he says, but then that fire burns within me. I can't keep it in. I say, I will not mention him anymore. I will speak his name no more. But like a fire, it burns in my heart, it imprisoned my bones. I grow weary, holy. I cannot endure. I have to live and speak in his name. The bottom line, we're compelled. We have a mission to fulfill. And even though it may be out of season, inconvenient time for us, we will not be silenced. Almighty God bless all of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say when right from wrong has become become so obscure, it does not take that long.